Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I have the team behind the short film Beast. That's Natalie Paracchio and Ted Von Bevern. Hey, guys.
Hey.
And they are the... Natalie's the writer-director, and Ted is the cinematographer of the film Beast. And Beast is in the Discover Indie Film TV series. And they are here in this podcast to answer the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are... Favorite films of all time, a film that's underrated, a film that's overrated, and a lesser-known film to seek out. And before I let them answer, I'm going to add that you should watch their film Beast. It is in the Discover Indie Film TV series, so go to Amazon Prime Video, any way you can get there, but preferably on a nice big TV instead of a phone or a computer, because bigger is better for the visual medium. And go to Prime Video, search for Discover Indie Film, and if you go to Season 3, Episode 7, you can see Beast. It plays with a very cool black and white film called The Man in Mel. Two very visual films, great stories. So anyway, do that, and now you will hear their favorite films, and you'll see what kind of films inspire them. So,
okay.
Natalie, you can tell us your favorites.
Yeah. Okay. So favorite film, I chose Aaron Brockovich, which is Steven Soderbergh, who we talked about previously. Mm-hmm. But I defined it as like the film that I want to watch, like no matter what. Like if I find it on TV, I will watch it. If we're like, what should we watch today? Aaron Brockovich, I would watch it any day. Just it's like. I feel like the story has so much heart. I love like the styling in the film, that it's like this noir with like 50s elements, and I think the performances are great, and it's just a fun time. So that was my pick.
That's your pick. You could have more than one. You can go up to three if you want, but that's if you want to stay.
I can't have
one.
More than one.
Yeah, that was in the notes. It said limit three. Favorite films, limit three. But I just want to say I love how you interpreted it, because it is favorite films. It's not like what you think is, I think the best film ever made is. It's the one you love watching the most.
Yeah. That okay. You know what? I'm just going to be confident and stick with my one, because
that's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies you can, if you see it on TV, you can watch 20 seconds of it and immediately be pulled in no matter where you are in the movie. It's so great.
And so I'm so glad that Soderbergh and Julia Roberts developed a relationship where someone can finally bring out the best in her.
Mm, yeah. I mean, I feel like her performance in that movie if I think about Julia Roberts, like that's the performance I would think about. And I think it's so, top notch.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I guess that sets up Ted for his favorite.
Yeah.
So this was a tough one. This was a really hard one. But I think I'm probably going to go with Apocalypse Now, I think. I don't know. I wouldn't classify it as a movie I want to watch.
Yes.
But I think for me, it's a movie that was just so moving when I watched it. And the first time I saw it in a theater, it's a movie that's just so... physically over, like it's really viscerally overpowering on a physical mm-hmm. level. Like I remember the first time I saw it in a theater, as soon as this scene comes on with the helicopters when they're playing Wagner and they, fly over, I was just bawling the entire, like I was just crying my eyes out in the theater, because it's so physically overpowering, that scene. Mm-hmm. And I think for a movie to be able to do that, it is, I think, something really special. And I think it's something that a very select few movies can do. And I think it really showcases the power of the medium. And so that's a special movie for me, I think, mm-hmm. just how moving that is. And,
absolutely. You know, it's funny. I haven't seen it for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hadn't seen it for a long time either. That time I saw it in the theater was at the Arclight, actually, which I'm sad are no longer around. I'm really sad that the Arclights. I was so excited when, the restrictions were lifted that we could go back to the Arclight, and literally days before that happened, they shut down. But anyway, that time, I think they were showing a film print of it, actually. I went to go see it because I'd never seen it in the theater, and it was just overpowering is really the only word I can think of. But it's a movie that you need to see in the theater,
yeah,
for sure. It really doesn't do it justice.
Yeah, that's funny. I was going to ask if it was in your collegiate film club where you projected 35, but that would have been a hard one to get a print of, I bet.
Probably, yeah.
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 All right. Well, the next question is a film you consider underrated.
So, underrated. Okay. I think this is underrated, but it was a film that came out, I want to say last year. That might be wrong, but it's called Blinded by the Light, directed by Gurinder Chadha. And it is a film about a Pakistani teenager growing up in England, and he is introduced to the music of Bruce Springsteen and becomes just sort of like falls in love with Bruce's music. And it's this story about him feeling like an outcast and sort of like finding how to fit in. And we just like randomly went to see it, and yeah. I am like not a Bruce Springsteen fan. Like I was not familiar with his music at all. And all the other people in the theater were like wearing Bruce Springsteen shirts, and it was like just like Bruce Springsteen fans in the theater. But I just thought the movie had so much heart, and it was just like this, I don't know. It was just, it uses his music, and it has these like dance sequences with the music that are kind of like music videos, and it just has like so much, just a really positive energy to it. And one of my favorite movies growing up was Bend It Like Beckham, which is also directed by Gurinder Chadha. And it felt like, I don't know, it was like nostalgic in a way because it had a similar energy to it. But yeah, so I don't think, even though it's like, did people go see that? I don't know if I think you nailed it.
No, you nailed it because I'm a big fan of Gurinder Chadha too. Yeah. And I despise Bruce Springsteen. And I can remember seeing the preview for that. It might have even been with the film Yesterday, maybe. But I saw the preview and I turned to my friends I was with and I said, oh my God, I might go see a film with Springsteen music in it because it looks so wonderful.
Yeah.
And then I actually didn't because...
Well, yeah. There you go. It's underrated. You should go see it. It's like,
I'm going to steal this one too.
Oh, no.
we've talked about this before. And I mean, yeah, I think it's a really fantastic movie. And I was sad to see that. I don't know if people didn't go see it. I don't know if it didn't get favorable. I think the reviews were also kind of mixed on it as well. Okay. But I think it's a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
I love it because I think it's just so honest and it's such an earnest movie, and it has moments that are imperfect and moments that are rough, but it's so perfect for the story and it's the right thing for the story. And I think it's really rare these days to see movies that are okay being honest with themselves and rough and imperfect. And I mean, personally, that's a big thing for me. I think mm-hmm. imperfection is a really important part of the medium. But yeah, anyway, I just think it's a great earnest movie.
Yeah, no, and that's Gurinder Chadha. She's this amazing director who cares so much about story. Mm-hmm. She's such a storyteller that she's doesn't care about technical perfection and things like that.
There's nothing pretentious about it.
Yeah.
There's nothing. It's just so, yeah, I keep saying earnest, but that's
it's definitely like a sense of wonder to it that I think is
and
like
fun.
Yeah,
but have to be a little earnest with Bruce's music in it. I mean, my
this
God,
this is true. Yeah,
but I think that's a rare property these days in movies.
True. Yeah.
All right, you're both picking that as your underrated. So
yeah. Did you have another one?
I couldn't think of another one.
Okay, yeah, that's the underrated for both of us.
Yeah,
then.
I think so.
Fair enough. And the next is overrated. And because you seem like nice people, I'm going to remind you, it could be a wonderful film. You could say, I like this film. Mm-hmm. It's just the reviews or the awards don't quite, they overstate its value. So you're not saying, the question isn't a bad film, because you don't look like the kind of people to me that who would say this is a bad film. We're just saying, you know, so-and-so won a ton of awards, and really it's good. It's not great.
Okay. With that classification, I would say, all films made by men.
That's one of the best answers I've ever heard.
Did you have a different answer?
Did you have one before I said that?
I mean, personally, I was honestly like, when I read that, like, that is kind of what I think. But then I also, personally, I was like, Tarantino films, I think, is like...
That's going to be one.
I think the fervor, it's just a little much sometimes. And, yeah, that would be my answer. Did I steal yours?
You stole mine.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't want to be too negative, but I'm... really not a fan of Tarantino's work.
Is there a specific one you would want to name, or you're just not into his stuff?
For me.
Wait, now I'm thinking. Yeah, I definitely walked out of The Hateful Eight.
Me too.
Wanted to see, and then I was like, okay, I think I'm done with this. Yeah.
Fair enough. And I love what you said. I love how you said all films made by men, because it makes me think of Jordan Peele saying, I don't think I'll ever make a film with a white guy in it. And everyone got upset at him. And he said, hey, I've seen those films.
Yeah.
Like there's enough films with white guys as the lead. I don't have to do it too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like
hard. Yes.
Enough already. For sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, question number four is a lesser known film that people should seek out.
Okay.
I was looking forward to this one.
Oh.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So mine might also be an underrated film, but so I also really love, Karin Kusama. She directed Jennifer's Body and Girl Fight was like her first film, like indie film. And Jennifer's Body, I think, was lesser known, but recently has had like this crazy resurgence where I feel like it's like people have recently discovered it. But she also made a film a couple years ago called Destroyer with Nicole Kidman. And I also don't think anyone saw that. Have you heard of this?
I remember when it came out, but I didn't catch it.
Yeah,
I loved Girl Fight. I saw Girl Fight when it came out and loved it.
Yeah,
and I always heard Jennifer's Body is people were closed-minded because it was starring.
It stars Megan Fox.
Megan Fox, yeah, and people were player hating her at the time.
I think it's one of those things where a lot of times films that are made for women, especially like. Adult women, studios don't always necessarily know how to market them. So I think it was like an issue where Jennifer's Body was like marketed as being this like very sexy, like male gaze-y sort of film, which I think it actually is like deconstructing that. But I think most people saw the marketing for it and then didn't go see the film because it looked kind of like superficial, but it's actually a really fun send-up of that.
Well, you know? I smiled because I want to joke that, because the trailer and the ads were made by men.
Yeah.
So they just said, here's a movie where Megan Fox doesn't wear a lot of clothes and kills people.
Yeah.
That's how they're always marketed there.
I think that's still an issue. I think a lot of like films starring women, they just like don't know how to market them unless it's like in a... you know, that kind of way. But I saw that in high school and I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And I think it's underrated. I think more people need to see it. It's a great performance by Megan Fox, and a fun film, but then also, her film Destroyer, which is starring Nicole Kidman, is like this really sharp, like kind of noir film set in Los Angeles. And it is like this very gritty drama, and I thought it was fantastic. And that was like, I don't think anyone went to see that either.
Yeah, I think I remember the title, and but yeah, I think you make me want to see that because yeah. I think Nicole Kidman is another person who, because women get diminished in that industry, and then HBO comes around and comes out with a series of really amazing dramas that she is brilliant in, and everyone remembers, oh yeah, she's a great actress. Why don't, when she's the sole lead of a film, why are people not going out?
Yeah. And also it's like, she's very, I think we're used to seeing her in, I mean, I'm thinking of her like HBO work, but I think we're used to seeing her in a much more glamorous role. And it's not a sexy role for her, but it's a really strong one. She's like this grizzled alcoholic detective. It was a really intense film.
Excellent. All right. Well, Ted was looking forward to this one.
No, I was just thinking, I think Hustlers was another movie that was marketed that way.
Hustlers was the best film.
I should have mentioned that for under, that will go back. that's maybe my underrated movie.
Yeah. Hustlers, even though I think it did get a lot of love.
It did eventually, I think, but I think it was kind of underrated.
It people did it well, but I'm not sure people respected it.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Because I think it's the same marketing issue. It was marketed in a very sort of
well, and as I recall, everyone I knew, all they talked about was how great Jennifer Lopez looks at my age. And I kept going, you know, look at the performance. It's not just...
Yeah, first of all, she is incredibly hot, and that does deserve a level of appreciation. But her, like, the fact that she was not nominated for an Oscar.
That was
and
a travesty. Her performance was amazing.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
the lead
iconic.
Was wonderful, too. I don't know the lead's name, but the lead actress was superb.
Constance Wu?
Yes.
She was also fantastic, yeah. But yeah, that movie is, yeah.
I really enjoyed that. That was a great movie. It had a lot more depth than people gave it.
Definitely saw that multiple times.
Yeah, so that's my underrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I went back in time, and now Hustlers is your answer for underrated.
Okay, cool. Perfect.
Is it my turn?
Yeah,
for
so yours
lesser
is,
known?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For lesser known, I think I'm going to say the films of Jean-Pierre Melville. That sounds so pretentious to use the word films. The films.
Cinema. Oh, you're an intellectual.
No, I really like Jean-Pierre Melville, in particular Les Samurai and Le Cercle Rouge are probably my two favorites of him. I mean, that movie essentially defined a lot of the tropes for heist movies, you know, throughout the 20th century. I mean, the final scene in that movie is incredible. So I would say his movies are probably... people should go seek those out. They informed a lot of other movies in a lot of ways, and they're just... They're fun, and they're artistic, and they're beautiful, and poetic.
I know, I was shocked when we watched... Les Cercles...
I feel so weird
saying the Red Circle.
The Red Circle Rouge.
I was shocked when we watched that, because I was like, oh my god, like, all action movies come from this
All the action
movie.
Movies, all the heist movies come from that movie, basically. Yeah, and they did it really well. And then maybe I should have mentioned this for favorite movies, but probably Metropolis also. Not lesser known, but a movie that a lot of people haven't seen, they should probably seek out, is the Metropolis, though.
Yeah, they know of it, but they haven't seen it.
Yeah, exactly. It's
like
a movie that a lot of people
Potemkin,
know.
Battleship Potemkin, and M, all these classic European cinema. Yeah, right. Most people don't even acknowledge that early Hollywood was just a bunch of emigres from Germany and France.
Yeah.
I mean,
But
yeah, I would say, yeah, Metropolis and Melville.
Melville, fair enough. Fair enough. You can just name a filmmaker who...
all film... He's saying all...
I mean, I have yet to see one by him that I didn't like. But let's say Les Samurai, to be specific.
Very cool. All right. Well, thank you so much. Fun answers. And I am going to, with apologies to my high school girlfriend who loved Springsteen, I'm going to see Blinded by the Light in spite of Springsteen.
Good.
I'm going to see it because I know it's, I know I'm going to love it. I'm going to love it. I'm going to love it. I know I'm going to.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was Natalie Paracchio and Ted Von Bevern, and they are the team that made the film Beast. And now they have told us their answers to the Discovery Indie Film 4 questions. So thank you both. And I'm going to mention again, you should watch their film. It's on the Discovery Indie Film TV series. Go to Amazon Prime Video, search for Discovery Indie Film. And it is season 3, episode 7, which is a really good episode. And if you want to learn more about the podcast or the TV series that was born out of it, go to discoverindiefilm.com. And if you're on social media, go to @DIFWINS. And there are two film festivals I got to mention. One was lucky enough to show Beast in 2019. That was Filmvasion Los Angeles. So just learn about that. It happens every June, and that's filminvasionla.com. And on social media, it's @FilmInvasionLA. And its sister festival, half a year later, is every November, and that's the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. And you can learn about that at shermanoaksff.com. And on social media, it's @ShermanOaksFF. And thank you, Natalie. Thank you, Ted.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And it was fun. And thank you, everyone, for listening.